Okay, as we just discovered, today is March 26th, and I am Hillary Domish, and I'm here interviewing Mary Gall at the Chemical Heritage Foundation, and with me is Mike Ronsky. So, first of all, thank you very much for coming and joining us today. And as I said, I want to start from the very beginning. So, I don't know where you were born.
I was born in Manhattan.
Oh!
Manhattan, and actually in the Lying-In Hospital, which is probably, if it exists still, it's part of Bellevue probably. Anyway, that was, and at that point, my parents were living in, I guess it was East Orange.
Okay.
In an apartment there, and then at some point, I was too young to know what was going on, but I don't know whether they had the house built or they bought a house that was built. I'm not sure. In Short Hills, New Jersey.
Okay.
And on, well, I could probably go there, just off Hobart Avenue. Anyway.
Did you have siblings? Did you have siblings, brothers or sisters?
I have one brother who is about almost 6 years younger than I am. He was born in 28. I was born in 22, and he was born in, and he is no longer living.
So then, the house in Short Hills, New Jersey, is that where you spent most of your growing up?
And we did until my father died.
Okay.
But this is the place that I can clearly remember many things about the house. I could probably draw diagrams of the house and the various things, because one of the things, they had a fireplace and French doors on either side of the fireplace that went out onto a terrace, I guess. And I remember I would sit there and at one of the things and listen to whatever the radio program was at that time. I don't know. I don't remember what it was, but it was something that apparently appealed to somebody my age, which was probably maybe as much as 10.
Okay. What did your father do in New Jersey? What did he do for a living?
No, he was in New York. He was a sugar broker.
Oh, okay.
In Manhattan. And then the thing that I think, as I say, one of the things I can remember about the house is it was a fairly large lawn in front. Now, you know, large is my eyes. And my good friend lived across the street. Now, the streets were, this is really old-time suburban.
Mm-hmm.
Short Hills. This is not, no street names, I mean street names, but no signposts.
Oh, wow.
So the only way, when you got to the station and you got a taxi, you had to tell him, if he didn't know the person's name, you had to tell him who lived next door or there. So that was almost a country place.
Right.
And I remember there were woods on one side of the house, and my friend lived across this little street, and the two of us used to do many things together, one of which was in the roots of a tree that make all these patterns, we would make little houses, things like that. So, and then our favorite thing in the hot weather was to go out to the street and get make tar babies.
I don't know what that is.
Well, we just got tar when the street was surfaced. The tar would run down into the gutter. And what we were very good about this. We would alternate mothers just to get unstuck. So.
Well, it sounds very enjoyable. It sounds very, very fun in Short Hills, New Jersey.
And I'll tell you one more thing about, about that. Was there was woods on one side of the house, and I think there was some tree house, which I think the boys in the neighborhood were the ones who probably built it and did not want us to be in there. But anyway, on the far side of the woods were some more of my friends, or we would click there and play games and whatnot. And at one point, somehow or other, in playing around, one of the boys, I think, must have pushed me, or somehow or other I fell. And so I ended up, although I didn't know it at the time, I ended up breaking my arm.
Oh.
And when I got home, my parents weren't there, but because my aunt and uncle were there babysitting me. And so, but what I remember most about that was I finally found a place in the bed that was a position that I was comfortable in. And when my parents got home, of course, this was panic. So they rushed me over to Summit, to the hospital, I guess. And I don't know what they did, probably x-ray. Anyway, I ended up in a cast, but what I remember most about that was not the cast or anything like that, but was the fact that after I came to from whatever anesthetic or something they gave me, my mother was had passed out. She was in the adjacent bed.
Oh, no. She was so worried.
That was about the extent of my early things. But every summer, we always drove up to New Hampshire, to Holderness, where my grandmother, I knew both of my grandparents, which I think is somewhat unusual.
Mm-hmm.
But we went up to, it was Holderness, New Hampshire, and this is where my father's mother and father spent the summer, although I'm not sure that how much of the time he spent there, but mom was my, shall we say, my nature teacher, because we would go out and she'd turn over rocks and show me the ants, and we had a lot of, she was a very good nature teacher, really.
And this is your mom who's taking you on these nature walks?
I can't picture her with us. It was just the two of us.
Who else on the walks?
Oh, well, she was there, but it's just she didn't go with her mother-in-law.
Oh, okay.
And it was generally just the two of us. And this was then on quite a hill overlooking Squam Lake, and in the distance we also could see Red Hill and a lot of the other mountains that were around the lake. And in the daytime, then we would go walk down through the woods and across some rather heavily trafficked road. I mean, sometimes it was anyway, it was a major road. And then down to the beach. So
it must have been beautiful.
Oh, it was. And shall we say, the nature walk continued as I called my grandmother Mom, and Mom would point out mushrooms and various things like that. And that was where we went swimming. And I'm not sure. I can't tell you when my brother really figured into things.
Mm-hmm.
It was odd, because for a while there was just, I felt it was just me and my grandmother, and obviously my mother was there. My father, this probably shortly after. I don't know. I can't remember the exact sequence. I can remember some of it. But my father died.
Mm.
And then. Then my mother, I guess, decided that either maybe it was money. I do not know why. But anyway, she moved us up to Newport to for us to live with, for the three of us to live with her parents.
Okay.
And this is Newport, Rhode Island.
Had your father been sick?
No. Well, yes, he had. He'd been in Walter Reed Hospital in Washington.
Oh.
And actually, what I guess I should tell you, because it probably plays a large part, I think, in my brother's life, was he committed suicide.
Okay.
He had been in Walter Reed for a while. We were down in Washington when he was there. And he came back. I think if his problems, if medicine had advanced further, mm-hmm. 20 years later, he probably would have gotten better help. So, but that was the shall we say, that was the end of the Short Hills thing, except for the fact that my aunt and uncle still lived in a house in Short Hills, but quite a ways away from where we had our house.
Right, right. After your father passed away, and you guys moved, your mom and your brother, and you moved to Newport, Rhode Island.
Yeah.
What was it like in Newport? I mean, everything must have been very different.
Yes, it was very different. In part, I think my mother had to make a major adjustment. In part because, I mean, here she, like, her mother was, having lived in the house for as long as she did, or the various houses that she and my grandfather lived in and moved around in Newport, she had her own life, and so I think it ended up rather knocked down and drag out arguments and fights until finally things got settled down. So, and most of what I remember about Newport is, well, various things. One, I think I went to every different school there was, a grade school. I don't know what the reason for changing them. These were all small private schools.
Mm-hmm.
And everything, of course, in Newport, you walk or you bicycle.
Okay.
No, there's no public transportation of it. I don't even think there is, even now, probably. Mm. There isn't. I don't think there is. But anyway, but among the many things that I do remember about Newport, as I say, my grandmother was, she was, it wasn't that she was strict, really. It was just that, she'd been by herself, and because her husband, my grandfather, was a congressman in Washington.
Oh.
He had been in politics for years. I think he was mayor of Newport at one time, and I know he was somewhere up in the state legislature, and then he was elected to Congress, and he was in Congress for 16 years.
Wow.
As a representative from this part
of Rhode Island.
I think Rhode Island probably has only maybe four districts. Each one, of course, has their own representative.
Right.
But I think it's small enough, and probably the population isn't this great. Although I think of Newport as when the Army and Navy were still there. The Navy is still there, but the Army probably not so much any longer. But there's the War College, which is still going, and one of the places that one goes to takes people to, just as a tourist attraction, you might say.
Right. And I can imagine. I've heard it's beautiful up there. I've never had the chance to go to Newport. I have actually been to Holderness, New Hampshire, though, so I know for a fact that it's beautiful there.
Yes.
Although I'm sure it probably looked even more beautiful.
I don't think it looks probably much different, because I have somebody whose name I've now forgotten, but can find out. He found me. He found my address, and so we've been in a sort of a desultory correspondence, maybe by phone. But he now he somehow or other bought the house that my grandmother had.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And the house, she had I guess she had a stroke, and so I don't know who found her. I mean, this is part of it I should know, but I don't. Found her, but then her son and her daughter-in-law, this is my aunt and uncle, they took her and they brought her down to Short Hills, and she stayed there until she finally died.
Mm.
And she along with the rest of the Kinleys are buried in Arlington National Cemetery.
Now, I don't know, but I imagine that not everyone can be buried in Arlington National Cemetery.
Well, my grandfather was always known by me and everybody else as Old Bill. And he was a general and in the First World War, and he was one of the ones who tried his best to convince Congress, or whoever is important in this case, that they needed a separate Air Corps division, not just as a Signal Corps observers. So I think the story is that this got him, shall we say, on the wrong side of some authorities in Washington, and I think he was then sent out to as a recruiter out to Pittsburgh. I don't know if this is true or not, but that was sort of a demotion. Anyway, he is, of course, because he's buried in Arlington. His wife is, and then. I have a whole mass of relatives, all of whom are interconnected somehow, and they're all buried in this one section of Arlington.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So, as I say, I told my son this, and so he made sure he knew the names and so forth, and then he went to Arlington and took pictures of all of the graves.
How nice they're all, it's all together.
Yes.
Now, when your grandpa, you said he was a general in World War I, did your father also join the military before he became a sugar broker?
I think probably drafted, they must have had some. He started out in the Signal Corps, and his brother, who's maybe a year and a half younger than he. He also was in the same Signal Corps. At the time, I'm not sure where Tom, this is the younger one, I'm not sure what he was doing, but he also, I know, was was in the Signal Corps and was a pilot flyer, because he used to tell stories about what it was like to fly with that, you know, really, you just flew by the seat of your pants.
Yeah.
no real directions, no radar or anything like that. Nothing like that had been developed.
No, this is the very early days.
And the thing that I've regretted for his sake is that apparently at the end of the war, when people were being demobilized, I think he would have stayed in the Air Corps, whatever it was called then. It was called, I think, the Signal Corps. And I think it was his father, the general that we all call Old Bill, and that's another story, who discouraged him from doing it. And I think this is unfortunate, because I think my uncle would have had a much better life if he had, if he hadn't been thwarted.
Mm-hmm. If he had stayed in the mm-hmm. service. Now, you said that you called your grandpa Old Bill, and that's another story. What is the story?
Well, it was, in the First World War, he was, I think, stationed somewhere in England, and I don't know. There was a cartoonist at the time depicting the doughboys in their dugout trenches and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I think one of them said something like, "You know, if you find a better hole, you know, go to it." But I'm not sure exactly how the Old Bill. I thought I remembered, but I don't know. Anyway, among other things, he was made a knight commander of the Bath in England.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what honors this confers, but somebody had drawn a wonderful picture of him, a cartoon showing him in the bath. So, I've got to, I think this is all part of the things that were in the house. And I don't know how to, I'll have to see if I can find out how to get some of the pictures back.
Yeah, well, it must have been very exciting for this man who bought the house to find you and find out some of these,
yes,
these stories.
Yes.
Now, when you would go to Holderness in the summer and you would go on these nature walks with your mm-hmm. grandma, who you called Mom, was your grandpa at the house in New Hampshire
most
as well?
Most of the time, no. I think he was there sometimes for a short distance, for a short length of time. Now, whether, I don't know. I picture him in the room his bedroom, but I don't really picture him anywhere else. So
right.
Whether he just wasn't a summer person, I don't know. I don't know what he did.
Okay.
I really have. I've often wondered, but I do not know.
Right. Well, and of course, when people are little, when you're a little kid,
yeah,
you just, however it is, is how it is.
Why, you know, why is Noble here? But I guess I never got an answer.
Right. So when you moved with your mom and your brother to Newport, mm-hmm. and you went to live with your mom's family, did your mom have to find a job now that your father had passed away?
She may have tried to find a job, but she ended up doing various things, one of which was she sold some products. I now don't even remember what they were. And then she made a little business for herself by making. What she made was aprons. And nowadays, of course, people, they say, aprons, what are they? But I think that's what she did and sold. And I know that she must have had something that she did that was saleable, because I know at one point she went to Manhattan, to New York, for some sales thing, I'm sure. And I remember her tales of the Horn and Hardas, which, of course, since she was there with almost no money, this Horn and Hardas was the place that you ate.
Okay.
Yes. Are you familiar with Horn and Hardas at all?
I'm not.
Horn and Hardas was an amazing food distribution place, you might say. It wasn't a restaurant in that, but you went into the place and there was a whole bank of windows and you picked what you wanted and you opened the window and got it out.
Okay.
And that was, and then I, some, you must have paid for it somehow. I don't think you paid ahead of time. It wasn't that you put coins in something. You, whatever, you just opened the door and took it. There was, there used to be a Horn and Hardart's out on City Line Avenue. And then I think they became, they had at least one downtown near Hahnemann Hospital.
That's where the automats.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, the early automats, right. I guess you could call them that. But they were fascinating.
Yeah, my when we went to New York, my father thought, oh, look, I didn't think it was that much, but yeah, the idea of putting you could see what you did, is put a coin in something, mm-hmm. you could get out, was really revolutionary.
Yeah, my dad talks about them in New York as well.
Yeah.
So he also quite enjoyed it.
I don't know how you paid for it, but I
think you put a coin, of course, it probably only costs like a quarter or something.
Yeah, but maybe you took it to some cashier, but I don't think you put coins in something to open the door.
No, maybe at that time there was a cashier.
Maybe so.
Now, by the time that you were in Rhode Island and your mom was going into New York and trying to sell some of these things, this is the Depression, the Great Depression. Mm-hmm. How were you aware of this at the time? I mean, you're a little kid, so maybe.
Well, I think this is a time when they had things like ration stamps, and my grandfather at that time was the president of a wholesale company in Newport. And so she always bought things in bulk. So the only thing she needed stamps was for coffee. And they kept asking her, well, you know, well, don't you need them for sugar? Well, she says, you know, she would always get sugar in great quantities. So I don't remember anything about Depression.
Okay.
And I think maybe I was too young, or maybe it really wasn't, it didn't affect our family somehow.
Either way, it's very lucky.
Yes.
So, now you said that you went to many different schools mm-hmm. in Newport, and you're not quite sure why, but do you have any recollection of whether or not you enjoyed school? I mean, some people, even when they're very little, they have this excitement for being in school, for learning things.
Yeah. Well, one of the things way back when we were, when my grandfather was still in Congress, I think we were, this is after my father died, we were down living in Washington at an apartment hotel. It was a hotel which had apartments.
Okay.
For a time there, maybe half a year, I was at Sidwell Friends, mm-hmm. which is a well-known school, mm-hmm. but apparently we must have moved back to Newport before the spring session, because this is when all the people at Sidwell Friends moved out to a country location.
Oh. Now, just out of curiosity, your grandfather, who was the congressman, what was his last name?
Burdick. B-U-R-D-I-C-K. Okay. His name was Clark Burdick. He had no middle name.
Okay. Yes, Sidwell Friends is a very well-known school, of course, right now. Mm-hmm. President Obama's children go there. But I can imagine it was probably
The interesting thing to me, as I look back on Sidwell Friends, was that at least one of the teachers came in to find me and said that he remembered teaching my uncle.
Oh,
as I'm sure both of them went, but it was my uncle who made more impression. That's, or maybe my father was not in his class.
That's funny.
Yes.
That's funny. So then, what was the school like when you got up to Rhode Island?
Well, I never disliked school. I thought that was great. And finally, I don't know the exact reason for all these little schools. Maybe they failed. I mean, this could be because they're, you know, like probably 4 or 5 pupils, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. But eventually, I was at a private school down, well, I say down a ways, and all the transportation, of course, was, for me, was bicycle.
Okay.
Bicycle. Uh-huh. And that was a good school. I liked that. There were no outdoor activities that I remember at all. What I really remember is the fact that I got introduced to Latin, and we had 4 years of Latin there.
Oh wow!
And then I went, and we must have had a good writing course. Anyway, because I do remember when I got to high school, the public high school. I say public, there was no other. I think there was a Catholic school. Most of Newport was, I guess, was non-sectarian, but there definitely was a Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
And but what I remember about the writing I took I had written a paper for somebody at this small private school. When I got to high school, I just rewrote the paper and handed it in, and the teacher knew, I guess, had maybe he'd been at the other school, the private school, but he said, you know, Miss Kenley, you've already written this. I remember the sort of embarrassment. Anyway, and I really in high school, which I thought was a good high school, the two things that I really enjoyed were math and chemistry. And I know I was in like an advanced math section, and obviously must have done well. And as I say, the chemistry I remember particularly because the teacher was so, I guess, so good and so inspiring that he probably helped turn me away from whatever I might have thought of doing.
Now, the chemistry that you did, was there any sort of laboratory work that to do?
Yes, there was laboratory work.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I don't remember much about this, but what I do remember is at that time, in order to, applied to Vassar, but you had to take what they call college board exams.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was in Latin. And I don't remember what the other two, maybe math. I don't remember one in chemistry, so I guess either they didn't offer it or I didn't do it.
Right.
I don't remember.
What did you think of the Latin? Was the Latin something that you enjoyed?
I liked it. I thought it was great. But what have I used it for? I don't know. I always say that, well, it improves your recognition of words. I don't know whether it does or not, but I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Well,
a good teacher, partly.
Yeah. As long as you enjoyed it, that's the
mm-hmm.
important part.
Yes.
So now, as you're going through high school, I know that ultimately you ended up at Vassar.
Mm-hmm.
Was going to college something that you always assumed that you would do? Or was it maybe a question as to whether or not you would go to college?
No, I think I just sort of assumed. My mother had gone to Vassar.
Okay.
But she did not graduate. She was there for 2 years, and then she left to get married. And then her older sister went to Vassar, and I think flunked out because she was more interested in activities other than studying.
Right.
And so I don't know how long she lasted there, but she did not. My mother at least lasted 2 years. But I don't think my Aunt Ruth And you know, maybe you will find out if you have my mother and her sister married two brothers.
Oh.
And my mother married my father, and then her sister, I think, was first introduced to the other brother.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe at the wedding, I'm not sure what, but mm-hmm. anyway, that was so. But they had no children, and my mother and her father, my father had only the two children.
Right. Now, when it came time to apply to college, and as you said, you took the college boards, did you apply anywhere other than Vassar?
No. And there was, of course, a guidance counselor at the high school.
Mm-hmm.
And when I told her that I had decided, her reaction was, she was sort of horrified. She says, it's such a Western school. You know, it's so far west of Newport.
Yeah.
I guess that was... It just always, it's something that struck in my mind because I thought, does she even know where it is?
It is quite a ways from Newport, I would imagine.
Yeah, yes. I think most of the people who went to college from the high school were probably either went to Rhode Island State,
mm-hmm.
or she expected them to go to places like Pembroke.
Right.
And, you know, roughly local colleges, but Vassar.
Right. I would imagine if people went maybe far away, Massachusetts, some of the schools in Massachusetts.
They might. Yes.
But Vassar.
Well, actually,
seems
probably
very far.
not many of them went. I don't think many of them went to college.
Okay.
I have a feeling that this is maybe this is part of the effect of the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
Could be. I was lucky. Part of it was I got scholarships, which probably helped. And I also lived in, at Vassar, I lived in what was called one of the two cooperative houses,
uh-huh.
where we got a certain amount of financial help. And the college there, when I say it was the cooperative house. This is the one that was really low-level cooperative. It really wasn't a big one. They did we didn't have to cook. We didn't have to do anything. We cleaned rooms and we waited on tables.
Oh.
But there was none of this. Shall we say there was one real cooperative house where I think they did everything. I don't know whether they had to do their own grocery shopping, but I know they did their own cooking and all that.
Oh wow!
But this was.
But you didn't have to. You didn't have to do the cooking or the cleaning.
No.
Okay. So how was it when you got to Vassar? I mean, it is quite a ways from home, but you've already lived.
Well,
quite
the
a few
trouble
places.
Is, and I think everybody who goes to college, particularly from any public high school, I would say. It's a different atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
and you'd have a sort of freedom of choice which you never had before, really. And so I think I almost flunked out my first year.
Oh no!
But that, you know, there's so many inducements to not study. So,
what kind of things should you have been studying your first year?
I don't know, but I was given a rather a stern lecture by, I'm sure, one of the administrators, or I don't know who it was, but, you know, as I say, there's so many ways to not work, not study,
mm-hmm.
and unless you had good self-discipline, which being scared of losing it, maybe that was what helped.
So now, ultimately, you became a chemistry major at Vassar. Did you know that that's what you wanted to do when you first got there?
No, the other choice was in the field of bacteriology.
Oh.
And there was I was approached, I guess as a senior, maybe as a junior, by somebody from IBM, because of the math that must have been reasonably good at the time, but I didn't pursue that. But the bacteriology was very interesting, and I thought for a time, not a very long time, but I did think quite seriously of going on to medical school. Oh. But then I decided I didn't have the drive. I think a woman at that time, you needed real. One of my classmates apparently had the drive, and she did go to medical school, became a doctor. But this is a time at which a lot of them, quite a few of my friends became waves.
Became waves?
Waves. This is the Women's Auxiliary Medical, because this is the Second World War.
Right.
Yes. And that was one of the services for women that I did not do.
Waves are Air Force, right? Or Navy?
I thought it was Navy.
Navy, yeah. There's wax and waves.
Yeah.
Well, it would make sense, waves for the Navy.
Mm-hmm. It stands for something.
Yeah.
I'm sure, but I can't dig it up right now. I probably will.
So the fact that it was World War II while you were in college, how did that change things for you at Vassar? Was there much... I mean, as you said when we talked about the Great Depression a little bit, you don't have anything to compare it to. You didn't live in a different time to know what it's like to grow up differently. So it's a little bit hard to say.
Well, as far as the Second World War, I'm not sure what real effect it had on most of us, except the few of my friends who actually joined one of the services.
Okay.
That. The only other effect it had was by the end of the war, the returning GIs, had to find some place to continue their education. So Vassar actually had men on campus at the classes for, I guess, the last year.
That must have been a big change to have.
Well, I guess we all, you know, you roll. One of the things that was a change for Vassar was that in previous administrations, or maybe previous years, maybe it was the change was done because of finances, but. Prior to our class, which was 44, all seniors went to Maine. Maine was a big building, and they all, from all the other dormitories, all the seniors were in Maine. But the last year we did not. We stayed in our same dormitory.
Now, is that because the?
I don't know why it was. What it was because. But my guess from the distance is maybe the money saved from not having to move all these people.
So. I spoke, I interviewed another woman recently who, she started college in 1944, and she was talking about how when she started at Iowa State, they had a very hard time finding dormitory space because of the GI Bill and all of the men coming back, and she said that, you know, the school was obviously, it was very large, but just finding the physical space to house all of these people was was a huge ordeal. And so I wonder if that plays into that.
Yeah, I think that was, but that affected us not as much as it probably did the one she was talking about, because it sounds like another couple of years on.
Right, right. The classes below you probably kept being affected by it.
Yes. One of the things that that I think of when I look back on Vassar, one of the things I remember, of course, is most everybody had a bicycle, so you always your first class was at 8 in the morning and be somewhere at the far end of the campus. And so there's always a bicycle brigade. And I don't think bicycles were stolen. I think this is pretty, you had your own room, so anyway, I don't remember. The only, one of the things, since I'm, as I found out, and as I knew already in high school, I am not an athlete.
Okay.
And, but at Vassar, you had to take some physical exercise program. You had to take four of them, one per semester, in order to graduate. At this time, at the time, that was a requirement. And so I started out and in some physical thing, and I signed up for a sport that, well, I figured I'd never heard of it, so maybe nobody else had heard of it. So I got to the field, and the instructor was Miss Ritchie. I can still see her. And we had poles with a net at the end, and there was something that flew around. And after I had done some disastrous things, Miss Ritchie said, "Miss Kenley, I think you should try another sport." So it turned out to be what, squash?
I think it sounds like lacrosse.
Oh, lacrosse, that's right. Lacrosse.
Yeah.
Oh, no, squash, I know what squash is. So I ended up in what they call the freaks class, where they try to make you improve your posture and things like that. But they also had the requirement, which I was able to pass without any trouble, is in order to graduate, you had to be able to swim.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if they still have this or not.
I don't know. But you could swim. That wasn't a problem.
Yeah, that was not a problem. The only problem was the physical activity.
Yeah.
the other ones. Now they have all these sports, and I read the Vassar Quarterly, and I think, oh my goodness, I wouldn't survive.
Yeah. I wonder if they still have the requirements though. I know when I was an undergrad, not at Vassar, we had to do physical activity as part of our requirements, but there were so many options, not just team sports, but all sorts of other options.
I finally found a sport that I was good at and I liked: golf.
Oh.
Well, the reason I liked it was the ball was going away from me.
Yes.
I had trouble. I've always had trouble with things like tennis, where all these things are coming at me, and apparently I don't react fast enough. But golf was great. I liked that.
Now, was that something you could do at Vassar?
Yes.
Play golf?
Well, that was one of my... Yes, I was... So that filled a requirement.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. And it's nice. You still get to be outdoors and things like that. Now, when we started talking about Vassar, we were talking about how you got to be a chemistry major. Mm-hmm. And you said that you had liked chemistry, you had liked math, you'd liked bacteriology. Was there any maybe an English class or a history class, something less scientific that you liked, or was everything that you liked really on this more kind of scientific path?
I think that was the thing that appealed to me, was the scientific chemistry things rather than history. Well, I like history, but I certainly wasn't that that didn't appeal to me, I guess, was part of it. And I was very lucky because the teacher in the chemistry section, I don't remember, for a while I remembered her name, I don't remember. But anyway, she gave me jobs in the laboratory to do, which was great. So.
Now, what were the classes like for chemistry? Were they big classes or small classes?
Really, isn't that funny? I don't remember at all.
What about the laboratory? I mean, as you mentioned, you had the head of the chemistry gave you some jobs in the laboratory.
Yeah. Well, I was probably preparing solutions or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I should remember more because she was, I think she was very encouraging. And I can mentally picture her, but I can remember some of the other people who were in the class who did, shall we say, almost dangerous things, which was, if you're working with sodium, metallic sodium,
mm-hmm.
the way you have one specific way to get rid of it, and this, I think you're supposed to put it in a small container and then put some water.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she must have had more. This one of the students must have had more, and so she poured the sodium into the sink, and great flames came up.
That is very dangerous.
Well, it could have been, but I think it was quickly put out.
Okay. That would have been very scary. Now, when you were deciding to be a chemistry major, you had considered the possibility of going to medical school, but as you said, you didn't quite have the drive for that. Did you know what you wanted to do with this chemistry degree? Did you think maybe you would be a teacher or a professor, or that you wanted to go and do things in the lab?
Well, I'm probably more of a lab person. I didn't think I was had the proper temperament to be a teacher. I don't know why, but I've never thought that that was the thing I should aim for. And then, of course, considering the time of year, the time of the decade, and so forth, I had when I was. Maybe after, as I graduated or as I was going to graduate, I had job offers from various chemical companies. I don't know. I'm not sure why I picked the one I did, except that a good friend of mine was also a chemistry major, and I guess we ended up essentially must have been making the same decision as to where to go. But I remember being interviewed at various companies. One was, I have to dig too far back. I know one was Standard Oil of New Jersey, and which, thank you.
Yeah, it's nice in the hallway. It's very warm in here.
Yes.
You need to open it up. Noise.
Yes. I suppose it's one of these things that you never can control.
No. Sometimes it's just so hot in certain rooms, and sometimes it's so cold, and it's always the opposite of what you want it to be. Now, you said that as you were graduating, you had job offers from multiple companies. One of them was Standard Oil. One of them, I believe the first place that you worked was a place called Hayden Chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that one of your friends, another chemistry major, that you both went to work at Hayden Chemicals. Now, Do you still have family in New Jersey at this point? Are your aunt
yes.
and uncle still in Short Hills when you moved?
I think my yes, I think my mother was still living there. This is before she remarried.
Okay. So your mother was back in New Jersey?
I think she was back in New Jersey. In a house, actually right next to her sister and brother-in-law. And I think the house that she was in was one that my uncle and another young man built for her.
Oh, wow.
So, I know it was on a little small road named by the two who were living on it. I think it was called Bishop's Lane, but I think that was, anyway, it was nice. It was a good house and everything worked out fine. And that was, that must have been after. This is awful. I can't get the chronological.
That's okay. Thing.
But my aunt and uncle lived in the house that they had built in Short Hills, and they also, at one point, I do not know the reason for it. At one point, they were going to build a summer house, just a summer shack, cabin or something like that, on land right next to where my grandmother lived.
In New Hampshire?
In New Hampshire, in Holderness on the Hill. And I don't know what happened to that, but then for reasons that defy rational explanation, my uncle decided with a friend he knew from a school. He had been teaching at some manual training type of things at some, I don't know if it was a private school or a public one. Anyway, it was not in Short Hills. It must have been down in one of the oranges. And so he and this friend, whose name I think was Mr. Lance, decided to open a summer camp for boys. Once again, I don't know what was the real motivation, but they found a large amount of land on Lake Kanasatka, which is a small lake that feeds from Squam into Kanasatka and then into the big Winnipesaukee. And the first summer, they had high school, or anyway, four young men who maybe they were probably in college, who came up and they had to help build the initial parts of the mess hall and a few of the cabins, and so that's, and then my uncle then said that my mother could have a land there and have a house if she wanted one, so she had a house, summer house built there.
Oh, how nice.
Yes, it was very nice.
Now, when you were working at Hayden Chemicals in New Jersey, were you living with your mother?
No.
Okay.
My friend, who also was living there, we first couldn't find a place. We found a room to live in,
mm-hmm.
and this meant just, I think we got breakfast, but we had to fend for ourselves for lunch and dinner, and Hayden had no cafeteria,
right.
I can remember. I'm sure it didn't, because I would have remembered it. But we had to eat lunch and dinner out, every single day. And we swore if we ever found an apartment that we would never eat out except for some real special occasion. Then eventually we did find an apartment on the top floor of a house in, must have been in Passaic. And I know it was the top floor because we also, it had one big area room and a kitchen and a dining room, and then the stairs were coming up from the lower thing. So, but that was very good that we finally got a place to live.
Now, what did you do at Hayden Chemicals?
Oh, I was just hands in a laboratory.
Okay.
What were we making? I don't remember. I can remember we must have at some point been were using styrene, because styrene you can smell, mm-hmm. if you have a styrene leak. But it was, I really don't remember what we were making, except no, I don't.
Okay. Well, we've been talking for just about an hour, so maybe this would be a good time to take a quick break. We can get some water and catch our breath for a little bit.
That's a good idea.